Well, hello.
Hello.
I'm Pastor Joanne. It's nice to see you all.
You too.
Could I ask us all to just kind of come sit up here in the front row? And we do need Bibles. There's some right up there in the hall, I know. Well, anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
Like I said, I'm Joanne, and I'm glad you're here, and you have to pass through if you
Wow.
But it's been interesting, an interesting 2 years. In today's session, this is the main book that I use for this. It's called Sacred Ground. And it was actually written by a Jesuit priest that was at Red Cloud Indian School, Father Ron Z.
Yes.
Zellinger. I always want to say Z here. And I always recommend that people, Sacred Ground, that people who want to know about Lakota or Sioux spirituality, that this is the simplest book they can find that incorporates Lakota spirituality and Christianity. And it does a very good job of explaining things. And so with that, I don't know if anyone, you are aware of sage.
Oh yeah.
The use of sage in prayer. Whenever we start in healing and pray, we burn sage or sweetgrass or cedar, and we use it in our prayers, but it's also used as its purification, or what I like to tell people is for blessing ourselves. Because when we pray, we usually pray for everybody and the world, and we forget about ourselves a lot of the time. And so tomorrow, or the next session, I'll have matches and we'll burn the sage. And as the sage is passed around, people just draw the smoke over themselves in that blessing, in that purification. And the purification part is the belief that it releases all the negativity, your personal negative thoughts or energy or bad feelings or sadness. It helps you to just release that. And then as we pray, then, you know, like the incense that carries our prayers to God is the same thing. And this is sage, so I'll just pass it around. This actually came from the Black Hills. And it's very fresh. So,
smells good.
It does have a nice smell. But everything that we do, whenever Native people gather, they always start everything with prayer. And as much as possible, gather in a circle. So, with that, let's stand, and I'll offer this prayer. One word for God is Tumkashina. We say that when we use the word Tumkashina, we're referring to God as our grandfather, God as the oldest of the oldest that we know. So Tumkashina, whose voice I hear in the wind and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I come before you, one of your many children. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, so I may know the things you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, Grandfather, not to be superior to my brothers or sisters, but to be able to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me ever ready to come to you with clean hands and a straight eye, so that when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Mitakuyasu. Please be seated. The word Mitakuyasu is a prayer in itself. In the Lakota language, or the Sioux language, like a lot of languages, a lot of times you can't interpret a word into the English language because it means a whole phrase. So Mitakuyasu means all my relatives, for all my relatives. It's a prayer that is said at the beginning and at the end of other prayers, and that's mainly what it means is that this prayer is for all of my relatives. Mitakuyas. Or you'll hear people say midakuyasi also, but it's the same word. So with that, in the voices of God, the signs of the Bible, I wanted us to kind of explore the heart of Christian faith, because the heart of Christian faith is it's a living relationship with a loving God, right? That's what we know about our Christian faith. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know Him and experience His presence in our lives at all times. Well, in Sioux culture, that's what their spirituality also is. It's a knowing and a relationship with God and experiencing His presence, God our Creator, at all times. And so, in this, we want to pick up our Bibles. I have one right here. If you would pick up your Bible, and if you would turn to, let's see, what should we look at first? Let's look at Acts 4:12. In Acts 4, chapter 12, it says what? If anybody finds it first, please read it.
There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved.
So no other name under heaven, and that name is?
Jesus.
God, Lord, I am. All the names that God calls Himself. This is, I just talked to you about the word Tukanshina, a name for God. The other then is when we look at Scripture and we talk about the things such as the stars in the sky. If we look at Revelations 2:28 or Revelations 22:16, and whoever gets there first,
22:16 is, "It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star."
And Revelation 2:28.
"Even as I also received authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give a morning star."
So, in a place like this, share with us how you experience God. We'll start here. Anywhere, especially, you know.
Favorite place here at Holden in my field garden also is right down here by the creek. Last year we had a nice lounge chair that I would sit on, and that was my favorite spot. And I was afraid this year the lounge chair would be gone, so I brought a chair with me, and sure enough it was gone. So I'm glad I brought a chair with me. But to me, just sitting by the creek and hearing that water and looking up at the mountains is just,
God's
to me,
creation.
As peaceful as what
peace.
Can get.
Yeah. And what about you? How do you experience God in this place or your life? You can go through.
Yeah. That happened to you all day. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, I just got here. So I'm just, you know, I think decompressing a little bit yet. Well, my experiences with God are often, I think, connected, you know, to my family right now, just because I'm so in the thick of raising children. I don't know what it'll be like here quite yet.
Okay.
I'm just getting oriented. Although I've been here over 20 years ago, but then I was single and I was such a different person.
Yeah. And life goes on as it changes.
I think it does.
doesn't matter whether I'm here or not, I experience God in every breath.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
I tend to experience God a lot because it, the way my time and space are organized here, I get a lot more time to be alone. And I've been living in Chicago, and there's not a lot of opportunities to be alone in a city like that.
Yeah.
At work and in public transit, there's always other people around. And here, I can sort of control that a little bit more and get away.
And there are so many ways to experience God and His presence in our lives. I talked about the circle in the beginning, and if somebody would look up Isaiah 40, verse 22, and read that to me, or to us. Isaiah 40, verse 22.
It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Is that, did I read right?
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 40, 22?
Yeah.
Within it,
it's okay, I apologize. Oh, I'm laughing because my spiritual director, whenever I would have an enlightenment, would turn to me and say, "Ah, oh, little grasshopper." And I'm like, "Why did you ever give me this verse? That's so appropriate."
So did you find that confusing?
A little bit. The language of it can get me off track a little bit.
In Isaiah 40, verse 22. What do you all know about Isaiah? You know, Isaiah was the prophet that prophesied the birth of Christ, the Messiah. He's the prophet that prophesied the Messiah. Isaiah, in this verse, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. So we're talking about, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. We're talking about God, our Creator. And he's talking about God, our God, the one that created us all, is sitting up there. And the earth is in his realm. And the reason that I had you read Isaiah is because I talked about in the beginning how Native people, and probably other cultures, but I can only speak for what I know, when we always gather in a circle. We try our best to hold meetings in circles, not just for prayer. If we go to a sweat lodge, the lodge is in a circle. And so we always gather in that sacred manner. You'll see around this circle, which was just perfect, some of the things that I brought that are sacred things. And of course, there are the crosses. This actually was a gift to me when I was ordained. So it's a prayer bag. It's kind of a fancy prayer bag, but it's a prayer bag. So in it, when I sat down and prayed, I gave prayers of thanksgiving. I put some sage in there and just prayed over that and blessed it. And then there's the sage that we use. You can call it in our ritual or ceremony or prayer, that we use when we pray, and I explained that to you. There's the tobacco that's symbolic of the same. They say whenever you ask someone to pray for you, you give them tobacco. You don't even have to use words. When you go to somebody that's a Native elder or a Native spiritual leader, and you give them tobacco, they know that they will then pray for you. A lot of times they will sit with you privately and ask you about your concerns that you need prayers for. And then they will remember you in their prayers. So it's just a simple symbolic offering for prayer. And the other was just sage. This was a gift. It's just a beaded cross. was a gift to me. And then this cross, actually, I was raised in the Episcopal Church, so whenever you're confirmed in the Episcopal Church in South Dakota, you get this cross. It's called the Niobrara Cross. In this circle, are four teepees representing the four directions.
Right.
And then the chain actually was beaded by my daughter a long time ago, the first time she ever beaded anything, and she gave it to me for Mother's Day. And then the pen is actually the Lutheran symbol, the heart and the rose. So there are all my traditions there in this one here. And of course, there is my stole. This book here is called the Niobrara Wuchekye Woyapi. It's a prayer book. It's in English and Lakota. And so it's the different worship services in the language. When I grew up going to church, I grew up praying and singing and praising in both languages, because that's what we used. That's how the churches were, and that's what we used in church. And so we find all of God's creation in the Bible, and we find many things that are similar in Christianity and in the Bible. In the scripture reading from Isaiah 25, 6 through 10, this is what you hear. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich foods and choice drink, juicy food, rich food and pure choice drink. On this mountain, he will remove the cloud of gloom and shroud the death that hangs over the earth. He swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and take away forever all insults and mockery against his land and his people. The Lord has spoken. And so then we go back to the beginning of this little book, and it talks about the presence of God everywhere. And in one of the things that Native people use, it's called crying for a vision. And what the people do in crying for a vision, they go to a place. It used to be on a hilltop, and still many of them do that. And they pray. And they pray for 4 days. And they have someone that comes and brings them water and checks on them. But they fast and they pray. And it's called crying for a vision. And during that time, while they're in that area, well, they are praying. And they're praying for their people. They're praying for whatever is going on in the world. Their prayers are their own. So they're crying for a vision, and they're on that hill, and they're praying, and they're asking God to be with them, to give them direction, to let them know what that vision should be and how they should understand it. And this is what that vision, that person says when he's praying. He says, Wakantanka, or Tunkashila. Wakan means the holiest of holies. It's that's the only way I can interpret that word for you. Tanka means great. So it's the holiest of holies, the greatest God, our God. This is Wakantanka, have pity on me that my people may live. This is how they began their vision. It's called a vision quest. And they're praying to understand what it is that God wants them to do. We could call that a vocation, right? Because we're all called to a vocation in our lives. So then they pray. They pray for 4 days and four nights. And once that is done, then their spiritual leader comes with them and begins, you know, and talks to him about, while you were up there praying, what thoughts did you have? What came to you when you fell asleep? What were in your dreams, and how can this be interpreted? And that becomes then the vision. So that's way to look at signs of God and signs of the Bible. And it's a way that helps people become close to God. So signs of God and signs of the Bible through dreams. Here I'm going to give you four different, we just go around the room, each one take one. In Genesis 28, verse 10 through 19 will be the first one. Numbers 12, verse 6. Matthew 2, verse 13 and 19. And let's see, I have a whole list here. Acts 2, verse 17.
What was the Genesis one?
The Genesis one was Genesis 28, 10 through 19. Numbers 12, verse 6. Matthew 2, verse 12, or did I say 12 and 22? 13 and 19. Yeah. In Acts. Okay. Whoever has the verse, go ahead and read it.
If you could repeat where it is.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I've got Genesis 28, starting at 10.
Right.
Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night. Because the sun had set, taking one of the stones out of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And all the families on the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
That was just through
17.
Yeah.
Just through 17.
Or 19, I'm sorry.
So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, and the name of the city was Luz at first.
I'm the same way. Thank you. The vision quest. A little different than what I just described. But God's word came to him through dreams. Next.
This is Numbers 12, verse 6. And he said, hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams.
Okay. Go ahead.
Matthew 2, verses 13 and 19.
Okay.
Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. Jesus said to them, the wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.
You want to read that again?
Yeah. Because I'm wondering, am I reading the right verses? verse 13, Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. Jesus said to them, the wedding guests.
Matthew 13.
You know why? Because I'm in Mark.
Chapter 2.
That was
okay.
Why. Thank you. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm in the wrong book. There we go. Let's try that again. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead.
The parallelism, God speaking to people through their dreams. Okay.
Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Love that. It's one of my favorites. So when Christ was hung on the cross, what did he do for us? What happened to him? And what? And rose?
Rose and saved us from our sins.
And saved us from our sins. So if you look at Psalm 56, verse 13, anybody that finds it.
You have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life.
Right. And 1 John 3, verse 16.
Love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another.
So when one way that Native people do this, that they honor the fact that Christ hung on the cross and he died for us, he gave up his life for us, he gave us the promise of life after death, salvation, everlasting life. One of the way they do this, they don't die, but they Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sundance is a sacrifice. It was outlawed for a number of years. But what the Sundance is, and don't ever watch a movie about it because they never get it right. Get up and walk out if they're having a Sundance in a movie. The Sundance is a self-sacrifice, and what that person does for, it depends, it could be up to 4 years, this person that's going to Sundance prepares, and he has a spiritual, you could call him a spiritual director,
mm-hmm.
A mentor who teaches him about self-sacrifice, who teaches him about concern and love for your fellow man, for your neighbor, for your friend, for your enemy. And teaches him to walk, they call it the good red road, to walk a road where you made a deliberate decision to change your life and to model that to people and to live that way. And so it could be up to 4 years somebody is going through this process and preparing to Sundance. And when they finally come to the day where they Sundance for the first time, and they could Sundance for 4 years. But when they Sundance when they come to that Sundance, there's a sweat lodge. And sometimes that lodge will be as big as this circle here. And you enter and you all come in and you sit. and you pray. It's very hot in there. It's sort of like a sauna, but there isn't any steam. It's just they bring in the hot rocks and they put them in the center, and then the leader, they close the door so it's dark, and the leader, and it's not like that one that killed the people in Arizona.
No, it's not like that at all.
It's not like that, believe me. That was really distressing to hear that story and see that somebody is using a ritual for profit. But anyway, so they pray, and they pray about the fact that they're going to dance for their people. They're going to experience some pain, but they're going to do it because in their hearts and their hopes that this will have a tremendous spiritual effect on the world and the people, and so they pray for them. And while they're dancing, they pray. And they are pierced. Their piercings either in their chest here or in their back, and they pray. And there's always a spiritual director out there. And so the sun dance is not like Christ hanging on the tree, but it's a way to honor what he did for this world. And that is that bridge that goes between a culture, Sioux culture, and the things that we find in the Bible.
Do only men sun dance, or do women sun dance as well?
Women aren't supposed to sun dance. And that's all I can say.
Okay.
But when you attend a sun dance and you're sitting there and you're watching all this going on, it's not a show. When you're and you don't just show up at a Sundance. You only come if you're invited, and you go there and you pray. You pray the whole time they're dancing to give them strength to endure what they're doing. And so, you know, and that's part of it. A great part of the Sundance in preparation for the actual taking part in the Sundance is fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we fast for many reasons, and fasting has been a part of the church and Christianity through the ages. If somebody would look up Matthew 16, or Matthew 6, verse 16, and Matthew 4, verse 2, Psalm 35, verse 13.
But as for me, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my bosom.
Okay. Anybody have Matthew 6:16?
And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward.
In Matthew 4:2.
He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished.
So fasting is a great part of what we've come to know as, you know, spiritual development, seeking spiritual direction. And I think that, and I only think this because I only know what I know from my own culture, is that anywhere you travel in the world and you encounter people who live within their culture, there will be these similarities and these parallelisms between their very old and ancient cultures and the Bible and Christ. And why is that? Why would that be? created us. And even though not everyone in the world is Christian, Christianity came after Christ died on that cross. So even though everybody in the world doesn't proclaim him as God, Lord, and Savior, he still has given us those gifts because he created us. So there still are those parallelisms and those roads to Christ. That's what I think. One of the things, if you've ever, how many of you have traveled anywhere other in, you know, worshipped in another language? Wonderful. Where'd you go?
Well, I went to Haiti.
Oh, did you? How exciting. Wow.
I was in church, and his, it was still a Christian church, but a very different culture of Christian people, you know. So.
Did you have the sense of Christ there?
Oh, yeah.
It's really a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Where'd you?
I've worshipped in American Sign Language.
Oh.
In this country.
Uh-huh.
I've worshipped on Pine Ridge with Lakota being spoken. I've worshipped.
Where were you at Pine Ridge?
I was with Larry Peterson.
Ah, oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. He took us out to feed buffalo and they licked us.
Oh, you're kidding.
It was, yeah, no, yeah.
You know he's not there anymore.
No.
He retired and he sold his house and he now lives in Loveland, Colorado.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think about that every January. I think about students who are going up to Pine Ridge because it was just really wonderful.
It's a great experience.
And I've worshipped in Puerto Rico in a Catholic church, a mass. And I've worshipped in South Africa in Chivenden and I can't remember the other one right now.
Wow.
And another one. Did you
say?
Yeah.
It's so really that's great experiences. They're great ways to experience God.
Yeah.
When you're in seminary, I don't know if any of you have been to seminary, but when you're in seminary, one of the classes you take is a class that gets you into other churches. I mean, you go to other religions, other denominations, and you worship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be?
Because God's there too.
Yeah. And where did you go to worship at?
I worshipped in Lebanon at a Presbyterian church.
Oh, did you?
In Arabic.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Oh, that had to be powerful too.
It was great.
Yeah. Did you spend some time there in Lebanon?
I spent 10 days altogether in Lebanon and Syria.
Did you really? Wow. Anybody? Did you? Have you? I didn't notice.
No, I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
I gotta get out.
Yeah, get out in the world. Well, here, I'll share a little language with you. I don't have my book. This is Just As I Am, Just As I Am. Does anybody know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Just as I am without one plea. Well, here it is in Lakota. Wauki wo e ye ni na ni we ki mi chi pa su pi na ku mi e cho ki he un ta chi cha na. That's a language I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, they'll say, do you speak Sioux? Well, nowadays it's Lakota. Now I say, no, I talk church Indian. And the big reason for that was when my parents were school age, they were put in boarding schools.
Yeah.
And the boarding schools punished them for speaking their language or, you know, dressing culturally or whatever. And so then when my mom had children, They chose not to teach us the language at home.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my dad, my parents, my aunts and uncles and other relatives came and they all talked Indian to each other,
mm-hmm.
and they would sometimes talk to us in Indian, we had to answer in English. And that was Dad's decision to raise us that way. Not every Indian household did that. You know, a lot of families just spoke Indian at home, spoke English outside of the home. So that's how I was raised. But let me see, I want to share something with you. I'm not going to share that. Nice and Cree. I'm not going to share that. Just because they're so long. But what can I...
Can you share the Lord's Prayer?
How about that? It's right here.
Okay.
I'm looking at it. This is the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray this together in English and then I'll say it. So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Ante unyapi makpia ekta nan kechi ni chaje wakamapi nuwe ni toki konze un nuwe makpia ekta ni tawachi ichoni ichopiki he iche chel maka akal Ichopi nume ampetu I yohi aguyapiki ampetu ki le ungu pie na tona ichishnia icha unkichiyapi we cho unkichia cha jujupiki he iechel wa unta nipiki Unkichi cha juju pie na taku wa wiyu taye chi ikda unkayapi shni pie ta taku shiche I taha I unlaku pie woki kozezi ki na wo washake ki na wo witaki he na ohinia Na ohinia ti tawa heu. Amen. It's a lot longer than in English.
Yes, it is.
The other one that everybody knows is the doxology.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in Sioux it's Ate yapi ki hi tu chi na wonia wai kaki hei wai kantanka washi in different cultures. And He is always with us, whatever language we speak, and the people that we know. So, our time is up. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And by the time you leave, I'm going to have you singing in Lakota.
Yay!
You have to come back.
So who now serves in Pine Ridge where Larry was?
It's a woman that came 2 years ago right out of seminary. Her name is Karen. He actually left 2 years ago. But But he only left South Dakota this spring.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can't remember her last name. She was right out of seminary.
Wow.
And she took his place.
I'm guessing Luther.
Yeah. She took his place, and I'm sure she's learned a lot in 2 years.
I'm sure she has.
It was a brave thing for her to do.
That was a very brave thing for her to do.
Yeah.
I haven't been back since they built the retreat center there.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I slept in the sanctuary.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's this Pine Ridge? Is that in
South Dakota?
South Dakota.
It's on the Oglala Sioux Indian Reservation.
Oh.
It's called the Pine Ridge Reservation.
South of Mount Rushmore.
Oh. Yeah.
A long car ride.
Yes.
From Rapid City.
Very long. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope it was, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know.
That's right. So what are you hoping to get back into since you're retired? And
you know, I really don't know. I
just waiting to hear from God.
I'm just waiting to hear from God, because you know, my heart always leads me into ministries that are different. Or I guess it's my heart. I guess it's probably God, but you know. That's where I always go. Right now, I'm the executive director of the Center for Restorative Justice, and what we do mediation between victims and offenders.
Okay.
And we also do community mediations, problems in schools or churches that are having problems. And that was just a phone call asking me if I would take that on, because their executive director had retired after 12 years and they didn't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably going to be short-lived, but it's similar to the ministry I was doing anyway.
Yeah.
I was working with people coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Very interesting.
Definitely.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but they said supper was at 5, so I'm going to your dining
hall. Sometimes it's hard to stop my project.
It's easy. But I do thank you. Oh, I didn't have to be alone.
No, you wouldn't have
I
to be alone.
I continue to talk to myself, which I do a lot of.
No, thank you very much. I'm glad you're here.
You're welcome.
And Circle is tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm.
And will we have a talking stage?
Yes, we will.
Yay.
Yeah.
I really miss, I mean, we had a wonderful time, my classmate and I,
uh-huh.
went together. And it was very significant. The one thing I want to ask you quick before you leave is the name for God you use. Because I'm used to walking talking.
Tukasha?
Yeah.
Tukashila is the oldest name.
How do you spell it?
Tukasila.
And it means kind of elder.
Elder.
Eldest of elder.
The eldest, yeah.
Okay.
The
thank
oldest
you.
Of the, yeah.
Thank
Tukashila.
You.
The other one is Ate. That means father. A-T-E.
Okay.
Ate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will see you around.
Okay.